racist white supremacist regime. And then I take a look at this. Five young black teenagers, blind and marked for life, and their only crime was being black. You knew that they were innocent, and yet you wanted to sentence them to prison anyway, because their crime is not rape. Their crime is unforgivable blackness. The statutes on the books are just a pretense. They're just the excuse for locking you up. It will be labeled rape, but the actual offense is your unforgivable blackness. Something that simply could not occur to a white man. Because, you see, raping a black woman is not a crime for a white man. That's why there are no white men fighting for their lives and fighting for their freedom for the rape of a black female. It is only a crime if it happens to a white woman. And I've got Negroes out here cooning and buffooning, talking about the Final Four. Why are you not boycotting the NCAA and saying that you give justice to the lacrosse players, but we as black men, you ignore our suffering. You ignore our plight. You ignore our persecution at the hands of your system. You see, black men want to get up in arms and jump around and jump up and down when it's your turn to go to court. But we don't want to jump up and down when the system is clearly doing its daily work against us. You see, the time to be jumping up and down and railing against that every single day, you should be trying to rip that system apart every single click, tick of the tock of every single day. You should be at war with that system every day, because that system is at war against you every single day. And you should be banging on the beast 24 hours a day nonstop. But black men want to get excited and agitated and take action after the system has taken action against an individual. We want to get mobilized after the system comes for us. But when it's coming for another black man, that's okay. I had one Nimrod on my post saying, well, I want to find out if they were guilty, because other than that, I can't be sorry about it. He got his ass blocked immediately. As black people, we should be saying that the code, the credo, is black first, and that we assume that your system is lying, that your media is lying, that you, prosecuting attorney, are lying. We assume that you are a liar because you lied in New York on the Central Park 6. You lied through your teeth. You lied. You lied on Emmett Till. You've lied everywhere. You lied on Oscar Grant. Lied on Trayvon Martin. You lie every day. And we assume that you are lying. And even if the person is found guilty, we give preponderance to them. You are assumed guilty. The system is assumed guilty. Not guilty until proven innocent, just guilty. You've already been judged, and you are guilty. The trial is over before you got here, because as black men, when we're marched into court, the trial is over before we got there. But you don't want to say that, because fighting white supremacy is tough. It's tough. And you would rather bow down and coon and buffoon than fight the enemy. When I see that a black man has been arrested, I do not assume that he is guilty. I assume that he is innocent, because I understand that the system is white supremacy. Negroes are out here acting as if they see a black man arrested on the news and, oh, well, the police got him. Do you notice how quickly and how easily you slide back into coonism? Do you notice that? Did you notice how easily you slid right back into coonery? That when the police arrested you, I'm an innocent man. The police arrested Chris Brown. He's guilty. You start talking like white supremacy. You start talking like your oppressors as soon as it's somebody else behind the eight ball. But when it's you, you want everyone to mobilize. You want everyone to get up and come running to your defense when it's you. That's when you want everybody to mobilize. The time for mobilization was when you were not in court. The time for mobilizing is out here on these streets. the time for convicting the system and judging it guilty of being white supremacist is right now. This is the time to do it. There is no black man guilty in the American judicial system in my eyes, and in fact, because black men cannot be found innocent in the American system. The American system is at war with us, and until it stops being at war with us, this system is guilty, and the suspects are innocent. I have to give you all a refresher here today. Give you a refresher course in what being black means and what you are up against. The telephone lines are now open. The number is 646-787-1933. 646-787-1933 is your access code to the blackest radio program in existence, the only one of its kind on planet Earth today. You exist under a system of white supremacy. You exist under a system that can keep you waiting for 25 years or longer for justice. 25 years, that was actually the short route. Waiting 25 years for justice. Black males, cocoon and buffoon, talking about current, talking about ancient history. They're scholars of ancient history. Ain't nobody took the bar exam. You are waiting on white people to be in charge of the Innocence Project. We should have a battalion of black lawyers with the Innocence Project. It should be impossible to convict a black man in America of a crime. It should be impossible to do that. Simply impossible. We're going to open up the phone lines here and take a call. Caller from 661. You're on live Black Channel. Caller from 661, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello?
Why are you playing on my phone?
Huh?
You're playing on my phone and you're about to get disconnected.
I'm not playing. I wanted to talk about this issue. First of all, you keep saying that...
First of all, I keep saying not to call.
Well, you said that there are three black males being executed.
Okay, first of all,
when you
I
look at the raw numbers,
not to call.
Well,
why do you keep calling me when I keep telling you you're not allowed to call here? Why do you keep calling me? The next time that you call me, I'm going to give your number out, so that other people can call you and tell you stop calling us. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. You are guilty of felony stupid. You are not allowed to call me anymore. Go find somebody out there, dumb, stupid, fraudulent, ignorant. Somebody on your IQ level that you can talk to. Find somebody like yourself. You're not welcome to call here. Is there some part of that you ain't getting? If you're nodding your head, nobody can see you. This is the time for you to say, yes, I understand. I'm never to call you again.
Well, why am I being banned from calling? Simply because...
Why do you think you're being told that you can't call anymore? Why do you think that happened?
I don't know. I mean,
Why did I tell you in the first place that you couldn't? Why did I tell you that?
Well, if you don't respect other people's opinions, then
okay,
you
I respect
everyone to
intelligent,
go
sane
with
people's
you,
opinions.
Then that's fine.
I don't respect the opinions of the stupid. We don't need to respect stupid people's opinions. We need rational people's opinions, not stupid. You were told not to call anymore because you're an idiot. Now, if you don't like being called an idiot, find somebody else's broadcast to call into. You're an idiot, and we don't want you here. Not now, not ever. You got it? The next time that you call me up, I'm going to give your number out so that other people can call you and tell you not to call anymore. This is your first, last, and final. Don't ever call me again. Would you like to hang up the phone yourself, or would you like me to hang it up on you? Another reason why we as black males cannot get very much done is because we've got too many black males out here who exist in this crack baby, molly-dropping, idiotic, brain-dead, marijuana and cocaine-induced fog. They walk the streets, they're picking up phones, they're driving, they're getting sluts pregnant. That's what we're up against here. I don't have time for foolishness, coonery, buffoonery, or nonsense. You speak irrationally, you speak ridiculously, and you want people to I'm not an entertainer. I've never worried myself about how big the amount of numbers I can get are. I have never, ever once worried about that, and I do not worry about that to this day. I don't worry about large numbers because usually large numbers come with a large amount of idiots. I want to be the special forces of black intelligent society. I want to be the special forces of African people. That we're not large in numbers, but the numbers we do have are super elite. Not just elite, super elite. Now, if you all want to go back in the archives, you can listen to caller from 661 as he called in before making a complete buffoon of himself previously. He's done that before. And when I tell you I don't want you calling back, I mean that. Understand something. I've been doing it for 5 years. Why? Because we have to thin the herd. We have to. We have to. Now, you're welcome to call. The number is 646-787-1933. 646-787-1933 is your personal access code to the Blackest Radio Program in existence. The only one of its kind on planet Earth today. And you better be on board for this. You better be on board for this, because we have a bunch of people out there who are engineering our annihilation, who are engineering our destruction. They are trying to make it a fun jingle that you can sing as black men are annihilated. And black men as a group are sitting around waiting for somebody else to come swinging in to our rescue. And I'm telling you that as black men, we got exactly 24 hours to get super sharp, because up against a system that is playing zero games with your black ass. They're playing no games with us. None. They're playing no games and they're having no mercy. What they think, convicting you of a crime and leaving you to rot in a prison cell for a year, a decade, or longer is absolutely nothing. They don't care that you're innocent and haven't committed a crime. They don't care that you're a teenager with your whole life ahead of you. This is what an ethnic race war looks like. You thought it was going to be troops walking down the streets in goose step, burning crosses on your front lawn, you idiots. You brain dead morons. Cleansing looks like a courthouse where for white men, it's a trampoline. They bounce. They bounce in and bounce right out. For black men, it's at best a revolving door. You go in and you go out, but it's guaranteed you'll go back in again. Or at worst, it's a conveyor belt where you go in, but you never make it out. Nobody else talks about this in this way. Nobody else speaks to you as black men, as if you're men, about what's happening to you. Nobody talks about it like this. Not long form, we don't. And brothers, it's time to damn wake up. Both of these stories came in the last 24 hours, 24 or 48 hours. And then there's another story out there, in case, as difficult as it may be to believe, as difficult as it may be to believe and to stomach it, why women still love bad boys like a hot mugshot guy. Now some high yellow Negro in Stockton. And apparently there are a lot of folk who think his mugshot is really cute. So they're talking about a black male who could pass for a white male, actually. Could actually pass for a white male. And they're talking about how cute he is. 16,000 plus comments on the photo talking about how cute he is. So you've never heard the national media refer to Denzel Washington as hot and hunk. You've never heard them refer to Billy D. Williams or Michael Jackson as hot or a hunk. You never heard that. But for this guy, if you got a mugshot, you can be hot. See, they don't use terms of sexual attractiveness for us. They don't use terms of sexual appeal where black men are concerned. But they want to latch this. You're a black male. You can be sexy if you're on your way to jail. The only sexy black males are black males going to jail. Black males committing crimes. That's sexy. They're not even being subtle with the psychoanalytical programming for you now. They're not even being subconscious with it. This is blatant. This is bold. This is open. You're a black male and you are sexy if you're on your way to jail. And by the way, y'all, he ain't facing a little bit either. This fella is facing some serious ass time. He is facing some serious damn time. He's out on $90,000 bail. And he's got drug charges and robbery charges and all that mess. I mean, he is facing for real time, everybody. This is real time. This is not a joke. This is real damn time that he's looking at, with folks sitting up here talking about how damn cute he is. This brother is facing serious, serious years. And I don't find anything sexy or amusing or appealing about that. That's not cute in my world. In my world, black men better wake the hell up. You better wake your ass up, at black men. Everybody is at war with you. And the time to get on the right foot and be at war with them is right now. Listening to this broadcast right now. If you're a free black man on the streets, grab your swords, grab your guns, pick up your shield, and understand you're at war. Understand that everybody is against you. The schools, the media, the courthouses, everybody is on board the black male must die train. Now, are you going to get on the freedom train or the coon train? What's it going to be? Caller from 502, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, how's it going today, brother? It's funny that this came up because I was a week ago having this same discussion with black women, wondering why is it that so many of them crave these rotten, no-good men. And for whatever reason, they choose to hate us. I have no idea why it is, other than the fact that they have fallen for the propaganda.
Okay, but here's the real thing. The real problem is not people's dating habits. The real problem is that where is black male control of the media? Where's our own media? Because media is the means by which you communicate to the masses. Where is the black male-controlled media where we start taking this stuff to task? And we start checking people on it. Where is it?
Oh, I definitely agree. I definitely agree. I mean, you look at what has happened over the past 50 years with the loss of our magazines, our newspapers, even part of the black media as far as BET at one time. We have no voice anymore. And all they're selling us is a bunch of false propaganda.
What we're getting is white supremacist propaganda, as you said. Now, what is the answer to white supremacist propaganda? The answer to white supremacist propaganda is black intelligent communication. That's what we need. We need it now more than ever. Now, you remember what I was saying before about being at war. Do you think that black males as a group even understand that all these systems, the media, the courts, the educational system, even black female society, to a large degree, do you think that black males understand how much of the society is actually at war against them?
I think, for me, I think most of them are either so fearful of the backlash that the women in their lives are going to give them if they do have a voice. I go through it every day. I mean, anytime I have an opinion that is the opposite of what these religious black women want to, you know, have, I'm seen as the crazy, angry black man, you know. And like I said, I've learned to live with it. But I see, I got brothers and cousins, and we'll all be sitting around what we think is a intelligent conversation, and I give them a list of things that I have an issue with, and every time they come across as if I'm just crazy. You know, I was talking about the abortion issue. With how is it that so many black women are having more abortions than any other race of people? And they would tell me, oh, well, you're crazy. I said, well, the numbers don't lie. Look at the numbers. Now, I'm not saying they can't be manipulated, but I know from my experience, I've known way too many black women that had abortions.
Okay, let's be very clear on something. Is almost half of black women have had an abortion, and they're all going to lie and tell you no, they haven't. Yeah, they have. They've had an abortion. Just be done with that. But you've raised a good question here, and the question that you've raised is, does God exist in a courtroom? There's a reason why I'm asking.
Well, I'm not even sure he existed in the world, so I'm probably the wrong person to ask that question.
There's nothing about it, Doug. That's okay. That's fine. But understand something. Does God exist in a courtroom? And the reason why I'm asking that is because you raised the question that you're always having these problems, and you're going to want to get away from that train because that's causing a lot of background.
Oh, okay. Let me get...
Yeah, because he's about to pass you by there, and it's going to... We're not going to be discussing it in a moment. But we as black people, when you're with a, quote, religious black woman, what is she telling you? She's telling you that I believe in God. Okay, that's fine. But every courthouse you go into, what does it give you the promise of? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole
exactly.
truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Well, what are they implying? They are implying that they, too, subscribe to God. And if you are dealing with a religious woman, she believes that God has some type of efficacy or control in that white supremacist courtroom. And I wonder how many of you as black males actually understand that that's what's going on. They have found a point of commonality between you and the white supremacists in that courtroom. Just like feminism, they just want one point of commonality so they can say that you are linked to them in some way.
Right, right.
So once you say that I subscribe to God, and the judge is like, hey, so do we. See, we even got Bibles in here. We even got Bibles in here. Well, at that point, the females are now saying that, well, you won't get convicted unless it's God's will. At what point do you start saying that this is a godless, that the courtrooms are godless? You've already accepted the courtroom's legitimacy once you accept this God thing. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't believe in God. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that once you become a religious person and you subscribe to religiosity, that's going to be a different matter.
Well, you know, that's kind of funny because the last thing that comes to mind in the last little boy that was shot in, I think it was Florida, what it says, his mom, I'm going to pray for the guy. I mean, at what point did we ask for real justice?
When you are afraid to demand real justice, what you do is you turn. Don't you understand that once you become cowardly, you are even willing to sacrifice your own children? How many people understand that? Once you become cowardly, you are actually willing to sacrifice your own kids. When you come up talking about, I'm going to pray for him, in other words, I'm going to pray for him, I'm going to call the police, I'm going to call the judges, we're going to call the courthouse, we are going to do everything except take care of this matter ourselves. We're going to do everything except take care of it ourselves. Now, you're referring to Jordan Russell Davis in
right,
Florida.
Right, right, right. Yes.
And the thing about that is that, now I've done videos about that and I've talked about that before, we as black people are just so eager. We're so eager to stop. The truth is, nobody is really fighting white supremacy in an organized fashion today. Nobody is. That's the truth. Nobody in an organized fashion is fighting white supremacy today. Nobody. And the reason for that is because most black people are scared to death. White folk go to work, they go to church, they go to school, and as soon as they finish with that, they're involved in political organizing, they're involved in gay rights, they're involved in all this other stuff. White, black folk go to school, go to work, go to church, and then get on Facebook and Twitter. But you can't show us what outside of their Facebook and Twitter that they're doing. And most of the time, they're not talking about white supremacy. They're just putting up selfies and other irrelevant
garbage. Right, right, right. Because like I said, I have probably two, maybe three friends that I can actually have an intellectual conversation about what's going on in the black community. You know, most of the time when you bring something up like that, you know, you have people are actually afraid. They're afraid. I mean, I was having a conversation. We had to, my family literally shut the door because they didn't want the neighbors to hear. I'm not studying what these white folks say. But I guess this is who we are. I mean, like some people, I guess afraid of what they think to be a lavish lifestyle.
No, the truth is black people are just afraid. Black people are not afraid of the consequences of white supremacy. Black people are just afraid, period, because it doesn't matter whether it's a white person, Asian, Arab, Latino, whatever. The only time that black folk act a fool and have something resembling courage is acting stupid with each other. There is no epidemic of black folk acting stupid on white supremacy. Saying some dumbass mess to the checkout girl at Walmart is not fighting white supremacy. Calling out the police department and calling out the judges and calling out the school system, that and going to the school board meeting and acting a fool there, that is calling out white supremacy, and that doesn't happen.
Well, you've definitely gave me a lot of food for thought, and like I said, I enjoyed listening to your show, and I'm going to tell everybody I know to pick it up. I don't know when you come on a regular basis.
Well, usually you can catch us Friday through Monday.
Friday through Monday at what time do you because I got to tell my buddy Farrakhan about it.
7 p.m. Central.
7 p.m. Central. So I'm in Eastern time, so that would be 6.
That'd be 8 p.m. your time.
8 o'clock. That's right. We're ahead. 8 o'clock. But like I said, it's good that we have some intelligent conversation out here, because it's hard when every time you hear black people talking about it, they're talking about Beyonce. They're talking about Too Short and these irrelevant people.
White folks have an entire cable network to talk about black people and a black president. We can't even be bothered to post up on Twitter about it. Thank you very much for giving us a call, brother, and please check in with us again. We as black people, this is what I have always said, we must lose our appetite for coonery and buffoonery. We have to lose it. To lose our desire for this reputation as the dance fever people. I don't want to be the dance fever people. That's not what I'm here for. I'm not here so that people can be entertained by me. But most black folk are desirous to be entertaining, as we know. Tell me, how much good is all that wanting to be entertaining doing us? Tell me, how non-threatening does white society figure you for all this cooning and entertaining you're doing? Somebody tell me. Black men are the most harmless men in America. Bar none. We are the most harmless men on the planet. And all that's really done is encourage them to come after us. Your weakness is emboldening them. They do not become more merciful because you are weaker. They become more vicious and more sadistic. Your weakness is actually attracting them. Your weakness is an invitation to victimizers that you are somebody that they can punish and oppress, and they can do injustices to, and they can penalize and attack without punishment or repercussion. There are no consequences today attached to black male blood. And I want to say right here officially tonight that when you are a black man and you are sentenced to prison, that is black male blood. You are losing years of your life. That is your blood that's being spilled. Are black men acting like that's the case? Are we? Caller from 832, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, this is Brandon from Georgia. I talked to you on Facebook today about marketing.
Yes.
Yeah, but I had a couple of ideas about the whole situation with black people being, like, apathetic towards our situation. And I think the problem is that there's a whole marketing problem as far as, because I know you study sales, but the thing is that I think the whole thing is basically, like, whenever you want to sell somebody something, like, it's the best way to sell somebody is to sell them by teaching them how, on the premise of them losing something versus them gaining something. And I don't think that, like, black people have lost enough or have the idea that we have lost enough. You know what I'm saying?
Very good point. Extremely good point. What is the definition of loss in black society? What is the definition of losing? That I've lost.
I think that it's. Go ahead.
No, that's what I'm asking. Is what is the definition in black society of loss, of losing?
I think that for them, and this is something that you you said a few episodes back, is that we'd have to get marched back to, like, a plantation. Like, that's the idea of losing to black people. And you see, like, white people, like, they have everything, but that's it's in their words. You know what I'm saying? Like, the first thing you hear them say is, we're losing the country. So that's the most, that's so brilliant out of, you know what I'm saying, from white supremacy, to sell them that they're losing, even though they have everything. And then they teach us that, you know, that everything's okay, you know, that you aren't losing anything. And then, like, a lot of black leaders are trying to motivate us by gaining something. And, like, that's something that a lot of people don't realize. And that's the first thing that you learn in selling. Like, you have to most people aren't motivated by gaining something. You can they're more motivated if you were going to sell them some new gadget. It would motivate them more if you were talking about what they, you know what I'm saying, if this gadget, what the gadget will save them versus what it's going to gain them. And, like, I don't know why that is, but I think everything that white supremacists do is like a huge stick on us, and they really take advantage of that.
As black people, we are so desirous for a way out. Can we just be honest? We don't actually want to confront any of these things. We don't. We don't actually want to have to go to war. We don't want to recognize that these things really exist. Because, see, if you recognize that you've lost something, then that makes it imperative that you get up and take action. Problem. And for over 160 years, black people have just accepted that it's our place to lose. So we've lost the definition of loss and losing because we have embraced the idea that we're not supposed to have anything. And now we have become so cowardly and gutless that we are saying to our children that you shouldn't expect anything either. That's what we're saying to our kids, that you shouldn't be expecting anything either. That white men can walk up and blow your brains out and black folk are saying there should be no consequences. If the white court system says a white man can kill a black child, then that's it. That's just it. We're done. That's it. That's it. People just meander and waffle back home again. This is what 50 years of allowing your bastard baby makers to raise your children. Just saying it like it is, folks. This is what half a century of allowing whore sluts and the whorehouse mentality of the black single mother home to raise our children. This is what it has done. Because women do not go to war. If they were going to war, they'd be selective about who they let have sex with them in the first place. Whorehouse culture breeds children for the purposes of watching them die. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that. Whorehouse culture breeds children explicitly and only for the purposes of watching those children die. Because children are not necessary in a whorehouse. Getting sex is what you do at a whorehouse. A whorehouse is not a nursery. It's not a daycare. Children are an impediment to the commerce of a whorehouse. So white supremacy understands that rigging this whorehouse mentality is another path to genocide. They got it. Now, how many of us get it?
Yeah. It's crazy to hear you just put it like that. Like, I don't think too many of us, I think everybody is starting to get it, but just how many people actually do something about it? I mean, that's the problem.
Yeah, good point. I mean, everybody understands the problem that we're in. Everybody understands the mess we're in. Everybody understands the bind we're in. As I've always said, there are two types of black people, those who understand it. We live in a racist society, and they get up and do something about it. And those who understand that we live in a racist society and they go back to picking the cotton. And that's real talk. They are on the side of white supremacy because as far as they're concerned, well, they didn't get me today. And as long as white supremacy don't get me, today was a good day. Time they will come for you. Yeah, but they didn't come for me this time. So you see, it's not a black problem, it's your problem. And as soon as white supremacy shows up for his child support and talking about putting him in jail for it, all of a sudden he wants to call up every radio broadcast on earth. He wants to call up every newspaper. The time to be going to war against a bigoted court system is when your ass is out here on these streets. It's the time to be going to war against a racist court system right now. Right here, right now, this is the time to do it. You know while y'all watching the basketball playoffs? Because, see, my numbers are up tonight, which means I know what everybody was doing last week. Ain't that right? See, my numbers are up tonight. Don't even bother. My numbers are up tonight, which means that we know where everybody was. Understand something. When you're on a war footing and you understand that you're at war, ain't no basketball games on a battlefield. The army that's going to win is the one that never takes a vacation. That's the army that's going to win. And even by y'all watching those games, you're empowering folk that you claim you're against. We need to be eating it, drinking it, sleeping it, thinking it, breathing it, feeling it, living it, being it every single day. We need to be doing this every single day. We need to be running our drills and everything every single day. Right now, you got Hidden Colors and 7 a.m., and folk think those two things by themselves are going to change everything. Yes, it does count as media, but we need a lot more folk to get up, a lot more, because this is not a joke and it's not a game. I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Black first.
Black first, brother. Thank you very much for joining us here tonight. Let's grab telephone caller from 904. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Thank you, Jason Black. Black first, everybody.
What's your name? Where are you calling?
Can you hear me? Oh, my name Chris from Crystal, Florida. You remember me, hopefully.
What's on your mind?
How y'all doing out there?
All right, what's on your mind?
Yes, I want to expand on something the brother was talking about. I think he was talking about. I'm the bus driver. Now I'll give you two scenarios on how this bastard baby-making thing really affects the children. It was one instance I was taking some white people on a bus to pick up some black people in the ghetto, in this public housing project, right? And we get there. And it was like early in the morning, about 7 o'clock in the morning. And already, all the brothers, they was like from 16 to like 25. They were on the corners. It was all on the corners to this little confectionery across the street, this little Arabone store. All of y'all know about them. And it was just standing there drinking beer and doing whatever, tap box and whatever they were doing. So anyway, we start loading the women and children on the bus. It was mostly just women and children. The women got on the bus, the children. It was about eight or nine. These white men, look at the image now. These white people. Perfectly, white males are loading black women and children on the bus. Do you know? I looked at that for a while, and I said to myself, could black men go in a white community or Indian community and load their women and children on the bus and the males not say anything? You understand what I'm saying? They didn't even show any concern.
That is the purpose of it, though. Single motherhood is empowered by the white supremacist government for the purposes of ensuring control. That's its purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That you have unnatural things occurring. Men are naturally supposed to look after their women and their children.
Say it.
The white supremacist structure has instead stepped in and said, women, if you are willing to betray your sisters and your brothers and your children, we'll give you a check. And we don't have to get 100% of you compliant. We just need 10% of you who are willing to sell out. And if that 10% sells out, we got our hooks in. Once we have our hooks in, that 10% will have 3 or 4 children. And by the next generation, we no longer have 10%, we have 30. And 30. Then one more generation after that, we no longer have 30%, we have 60. And right now, the bastard baby rate among black people today is 77%.
And the thing about it, Jason, here's the thing about it. It bites black women in the butt. Listen, I was having this discussion on Facebook, and we was talking about Umar Johnson schools, and the sisters were shouting him down. Oh, he's going to take the money and run. Oh, can't you believe what this fool doing? Why is it only for black boys? And I was listening to him, then I said, well, I said, sisters, look at it like this. The best thing that black men could do for you all right now, is to cultivate a large group of strong, intelligent, educated, can-do black men for your daughters to marry. That's the best thing we can do for you all right now. But you've got so matriarchal and silly until you're cutting off your own daughters. Now, the Asian woman ain't constantly looking for a man. The East Indian woman ain't constantly looking for a man. The Arab woman ain't. But your daughters are. And you can't even see why. And when we try to set up an institution to help black boys, you get so selfish and silly to say, no. What about the girls? What about the girls? They need husbands. What are you talking about? You say that to them, and it goes in one ear right out the other. And I say, this is hopeless. If our women in this type of diseased mental state, that they can't see the value of enriching their men so their daughters have somebody to marry, where are we going to go, Jason?
Well, I mean, but that's the point, though. The average black mother, single mother, the average black female does not want her daughter to have a better life than her. They're actually jealous of their daughters. They are jealous of their daughter if their daughter has a better life than her. Well, that's not fair. That's not right. I can't tell you how many black women I've run into who I suffered that was good enough for me. They don't aspire for their daughters to have a better life. They are actively against the idea that their daughters should have a better life because they want their daughters to have the life that they had. Not a better one, but the same one. Now, having the same life is fine if you had the best life possible. But if you were struggling and suffering and everything else, you're not supposed to want your children to suffer. You're not supposed to want your children to struggle. They actively are against that. So this is why when I did my broadcast, The Handmaidens of White Supremacy, that was why I called it. I didn't give a damn who it upset. It's the damn truth. They're the handmaidens of white supremacy because you can go to any courthouse. Understand something. The females who work at the courthouses and stuff, and it's the same where I am as it is where you are. It's the same everywhere. There are a bunch of black females there, mostly single mothers.
Say
your black female bailiffs. They hate black men as much as the white men do. And the courtroom is the only place where they get to punish a black man. Your baby daddy don't give a damn. He's gone. He's untouchable. So now they are going to punish you in the place of the baby daddy. That's why they do not prepare their sons to fight white supremacy, because they believe that white supremacy is their man. That's what the welfare check and the food stamps is about. That it makes the association in your mind that white supremacy is the breadwinner and who you should be looking toward. That should be your last resort.
Mm-hmm.
Your own resort. That the men are not intended for that. So we have a court system where black men are victimized daily. Where were the black women that stood up here and say, save our boys? These are your sons, by the way.
Say it again.
For the females talking about, why is Umar Johnson went to school for boys? Hello, these are your sons, by the way. These are your sons, by the way.
Umar Johnson said, he said something, I think it was about a year ago. It was on his other radio program. And it threw me through a loop when he said it. He says, the white American male and the black American woman has the same mindset. They have, especially the mindset when they view black men. And I started thinking about that, and I was looking at what one of your posters was saying on the thing, in your chat room. And he was talking about try reading a book around black women outside of the Bible. And I really let that sink in and think about it. But I was thinking about the times when I was used to do a lot, you know, I like to do a lot of reading. And when I was around a lot of sisters and I'm reading a book, I mean, that means I'm intellectually engaged in something beyond her control. I'm going to say that again. Intellectually engaged in something that she doesn't control, that is of no benefit to her. Because if I'm studying to be a doctor, engineer, scientist, whatever, it's going to elevate my lifestyle. So subsequently, she will get a benefit from her.
Did you say that somebody in my chat room said that?
Yeah, somebody in your chat room.
Okay. I want to know who that was then, because that's a really profound statement.
I don't know. I don't know. I'll look back. I'll look back for it, though.
I'm the black authority. I'm the one who said I want to know who
that
is. Okay.
I go overstep myself now.
That's a really profound statement, but go ahead and finish.
So I thought about that when I was saying, and I'm looking back over the years, and I noticed that they get real jittery when I'm reading a book. When I'm gaining knowledge outside of their control, you know, they say, hey, man, I'm ready to go. Hey, ain't you got some work to do around the house? Hey, I'm ready to go to Walmart, you know, or whatever. They start getting real jittery. And I say, that's similar to what white men used to do when I used to read a book on the job. They didn't like that. They'd get me busy real quick when I started reading, when I'm intellectually engaged in something outside of their control. And I say, black women do the same thing. And I always wondered about that when that brother said that it all came into, it just all did a 360, and now I understand. They're not comfortable with that. So it goes back to Umar Johnson school. A lot of it is, Jason Black, you got three generations of black women were raised without black men in the home. They're not comfortable with black men being in an intellectually or economically superior position. See, what a lot of people, I'm going to try to make this quick. There is one thing that nobody noticed about the character in The Color Purple. What's that brother name who was married to Danny Glover played. What was his name? Man, what did they call him? The guy that got the character that Danny Glover played. Do you remember? In Color Purple.
No.
Okay, well, whatever.
I'm proud to say never actually seen that movie. I'm proud to say.
Okay, but there was one thing about that character no one ever noticed. And I really looked at it, and I say, you know what's something about that character? He was an on-point brother. If you think about it, he had his own land, his own house, his own vehicles. He was basically an independent, on-point black man. But they made him a monster. You understand what I'm saying?
Let's be clear about that now. You said they cleverly made him a monster. Let's be very clear about that now. Who wrote The Color Purple?
Well, white director.
Who wrote the book The Color Purple?
Okay. Alice Walker. I'll be right back over there.
Understand,
yeah,
that was what gave them their excuse. That is why the two black writers that the New York white literary establishment has always applauded for reasons that nobody has ever actually been able to quantify, Alice Walker and Toni Morrison. And what do both of those two, I use the term women advisedly, what do both of them have in common? An undying, unquenchable, burning hatred of black men. So white supremacy found black women who would give them cover. And you can say, well, this is not our work, this is hers. Can you tell me when we're going to make a movie out of the work of Tim Wise? Tell me when we're going to, this is why you and I as black men, we need our own media. You see, show me when we're going to make a movie about the life of Kim Kardashian. Show us a white woman who's going to sit up here and show us Kendra Wilkinson. Let's make you know why they don't want to make a story about the life of Anna Nicole Smith? If they do, I guarantee you they're going to leave out a huge chapter of it. GBA, what chapter is that? Years ago, Inside Edition did a story about Anna Nicole Smith. This was back during the Guess Jeans days. This was when she was hotter than a firecracker in July.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a story about her with her boyfriend. Now, understand something. Her boyfriend at the time, he was a dark-skinned black male. And he was built like a bouncer. I mean, he was built like a bouncer. He wasn't one of these slender dudes either. You know, he didn't look like a Hollywood actor is what I'm saying. He looked like an average black male. There was nothing extraordinary looking about him. He looked like the average black male. Anna Nicole Smith, they were having trouble at the time or some kind. Anna Nicole Smith went insane. insane on his answering machine. She went insane. She was saying, you no good son of a bleep, 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 mother bleep, bleep. You said you were never going to bleep me, and you bleeped me. You son of a... I mean, she went insane on his answering machine. She went Alec Baldwin. I mean, she went Mel Gibson on him. Didn't call him a nigger or nothing like that. But, I mean, she did, you know, typical female stuff. She just went off the damn rails. Now, let me tell you, as a female, you don't do that for somebody you don't care about.
No.
A woman don't go nuts like that for a man that she don't care about. So, understand, if they ever do her life story, they're going to leave him out. They're going to make sure to leave him out. They are not going to promote white women who have a problem with white men. Not so long as their dime has to pay for it. If their dime has to pay for it, ain't going to happen. And that's why movies like Black Snake Moan, like I say, we as black men, if you are tired of, if you want some white bed wenches, you got to pay for them. Mm-hmm. Let me say this right now, brothers and sisters from around the world. Brothers, y'all need to get off your asses. If you want some white bed wenches, you got to pay for them. White bed wenches ain't free. Y'all are sitting up here talking about swag. You can't get these white women to say jack against white men.
Nothing.
You're sitting up here on Facebook and mess talking about white women, the black woman's kryptonite. You can't get them white women to acknowledge your damn existence, nigga. You can't get them to acknowledge that you even exist. Get her to stand up against white supremacy if you can. Get her to even acknowledge it exists. If you can. You see, for all the clowns out there with their white girlfriends on their arms and every damn thing else, bragging, the interracialists bragging about it. Some of them make careers out of bragging about having white women on their arms and whatnot. Till things go bad, of course. Then there's no bragging to be done. They want to brag about that, but you can't get those same white women to say anything against. They won't go against white supremacy the way you're talking. You talking about she don't like white folk like that, but she ain't said a damn word. You're talking. You ain't going to get her to go on a get her to go on a Alec Walker, Toni Morrison jihad against white supremacy. See if you can pull that one off. Call me when you can get that one going. If we as black men want white bed wenches, we got to pay for them, brother, because white men are paying for them. Welfare system is a dowry for black whores. White men understand we ain't going to get jack if we don't pay for it. Section 8 is paying for your woman's soul. Now, yes, it's pathetic that her soul can be sold so cheap, but let's just call it for what it is, can we? Let's just call it like it is. Black men are trying to get benefits that they did not earn. If you want a white bed wench, that heifer got to be financed. That heifer has got to be paid for. And show me where black men are putting cash money on the table to cultivate white bed wench. Tell me, where's it happening?
You know, my thing, the whole thing with the black man, white woman thing, it's kind of different, you know. Understand what you're saying, and that's very important, but it's another reason why. What black men don't understand, being with these white women are raising your boys. Let's flip this around for a minute. Let's suppose that every time a black man seen a black woman who get her money together, that get it right, she goes and marry. And, okay, we're raising the black girls, in other words, okay? We're raising the black girls. Now, if every time he looks on the telly or reads, when a black woman gets it together, get her education, career, whatever, she goes and gets a white man, how are we going to raise the black girls? You understand what I'm saying? See,
yeah, you know, what you're saying, basically, it leaves the home unguarded is what you're saying.
Yeah, but it's almost a subconscious way of limiting black males to keep them available for black girls. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, but what it is that these guys are not saying it because they want to be fathers. They're not saying it because they want to be husbands. Black men as a group, because they've been raised by bastard baby makers, but still, black men as a group don't really want to be adults. They want to be children. They want to be 20 years old, 30 years old, and they want to react to everything around them and deal with everything around them. What you're talking about is an adult response to this situation. You're talking about an adult response. That you're saying, wait, man, think about the ramifications of this. Well, brother, that's what adults do. Adults think about the ramifications of their actions. 20% of black males...
That's the main reason why I'm against it. I don't like
that. 20% of black males are single fathers. What does that tell you? That tells you that 20% of black males have completely checked out the idea of having responsibility for adult responsibilities. So all this stuff you're talking about right here, that's too close to being an adult. He's not trying to hear that. That's close to being an adult, and he wants to go back to playtime. That's why the statements that they make about white women are in regard to sex. White men do not make statements about black women in regard to sex. They make statements about black women in regard to power. Oscar Wilde said it very well. Everything in life is about sex except sex. Sex is about power. White men do not believe in having a black woman around that does not benefit them. Take case in point, the porn industry. They got a bunch of black women on white men's payrolls, but they ain't a bunch of black women with white boyfriends. And for white boyfriends, show me the white men who are passing on their power and wealth to black women. You can, all these black women were talking about, that white prince and wherever the hell he was from, Moldavia or wherever the hell that jackass was from. It didn't say nothing about the fact that the man divorced, got rid of the woman and didn't want nothing to do with the kids and whatnot. That went by the wayside. We are sitting up here celebrating being people's sex toys. Nobody is handing us over their power, wealth, and influence. They're keeping their power, wealth, and influence among their people. They're using us for a hot summer date. They're keeping power, wealth, and influence for their children and among their people. And we're not understanding that. We're not getting that because we are talking about every damn thing except that. And that's why your kids are left helpless and hopeless in the grip of white supremacist court system. It is a scandal and a crime that black women can, black women and black men can show up in droves for Beyonce and R. Kelly. Do you know how many fads have come and gone in black society since those young men got convicted of a rape that they never actually did? How can a woman sit up here and think that six children raped her? How can she think that? My answer to you is she didn't. We find out it was one man. Ma'am, how did you think that six kids were responsible for what one man did? Thought six children raped you? You did not think that. You thought somebody did it, and that it doesn't matter if we send niggers to jail. That's what they're here for. And we as black people didn't stand up to nothing. There were no protests about that. We didn't demand that. We should have our everybody's talking about Johnny Cochran, and Johnny Cochran was going to sue for reparations. I just want to slap every Negro in the mouth who talks about that. Not because it wasn't the right thing or justifiable. I want to know what the hell we're going to do today. You're talking about Johnny Cochran from 20 years ago. Where is the next Johnny Cochran? Why are we not insisting on it now? We got plenty of black male lawyers on the internet trawling for draws. Nobody is talking about going to the international court and saying, I will take that case.
I thought about this. I say, I wonder, how could we prosecute a black class action suit for black men in America? A black male discrimination suit?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. That was the next thing I was going to say. Because we as black men have been targeted by the system. We should have a bunch of lawyers with class actions against the New York Police Department, Los Angeles Police Department, the whole state of Texas, the entire state of Texas from the governor's office down. Every single one of them should be facing prosecution down the line. And yet, you're talking about reparations. Where's our class action lawsuit where that's concerned? Nobody's talking about doing that.
And the American corporate system, just the corporate system alone, how they just to get jobs and education and all the resources that we need, we could easily prove that black American men are being slighted. I don't know why they don't have a class action lawsuit for that. I'm not a lawyer, but it needs to be put out there.
The problem that the immortal Dr. John Henry Clark had. And by the way, it was one of the things that he said that really made me recognize what an icon that man was. And he gave his speech at that lecture after the Million Man March when he talked about that, where he talked about, now, if I were to name a faker and a fraud, like, I'm just going to name somebody, Louis Farrakhan. See, don't come to me talking about Louis Farrakhan and Top Dollar Jakes and all the rest of those people. Don't come to me talking about that. Because, you see, those people have enough money that we don't have to wait, brother. There's black lawyers who are in law school right now. Right now. Why are we not financing their education so that they can get a degree in international law? So that they can get a degree in tort cases? So we can start taking these institutions to task. T.D. Jakes could do that. Eddie Long found himself behind the eight ball. How much money has he put into that? Louis Farrakhan been around for decades. Dr. Clark said it best. He said Louis Farrakhan could take what he makes in one. He could sell one of his limousines, just one of those limousines, take that money and put 10 black men through medical school. And we could start, the Nation of Islam could start with having an organized, start an organized hospital so that we can start seeing our people. So we, how about 10 lawyers through law school? Louis Farrakhan's made a choice. Well, they ain't come to arrest me yet, so what do I need a lawyer for? And besides, even if they do, I got plenty of money to pay some white man, like I did the white men who helped me with my cancer. Oh, y'all forgot about that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everybody. I wasn't supposed to bring that up, was I? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to dredge that up for you. I didn't mean to dredge that up. Because you thought it started with Scientology. Y'all were a bit late. His conversion happened way before that. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'm upsetting people now. Not. I hope you're damned offended. See, brother, we've been bull jiving for a long damn time. We've been bull jiving for a long time. A long time. And we don't want to be honest about how we got here. If black folk were really serious about this stuff, I don't subscribe. Understand something. I believe in group economics. So I don't want to hear anybody complaining about group economics and then we're not holding everybody. We got to sit up here and say, hold on a second here. There's no sacred cows. There are no sacred cows. Farrakhan wants to talk about the system. That's why, at least, you have to give a little bit more credit to T.D. Jakes and Creflo Dollar. At least they've never talked against the system. They don't give a damn. They're not going against it. They're not fighting it. Creflo Dollar is not doing a damn thing against white supremacy. When Creflo Dollar got arrested, did you hear one word about white supremacy? Did you hear one word about the judicial system? Oh, I'm sorry, y'all forgot. Creflo Dollar did get arrested a few years ago. Didn't y'all remember that? Oh, I'm sorry, y'all forgot about that. Yeah, y'all forgot that Creflo Dollar got arrested just a couple years ago. Y'all forgot all about that.
Mm-hmm. Smacking his dog.
Y'all about it. Has he come out and said, I'm going to unleash a platoon of lawyers against this system? Did he do that? No, he didn't. Why? Because Creflo Dollar wants to still be there in Madison Square Garden. Oh, you all forgot that Creflo Dollar holds services at Madison Square Garden every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
At least he used to. I'm not sure if he necessarily still does today. But I think he still does. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Creflo Dollar still got services there. If I'm wrong, correct me. Creflo Dollar, that's what he's looking at. How can I get in Madison Square Garden? You think he's going to sue the city? And mess up the deal at Madison Square Garden? You think he's going to do that?
I'm on to your channel.
Don't you know that when your soul is bought, White supremacy don't lease nothing. They believe in what they own and control. And what they own is what they control. And don't you know his soul is bought and paid for? And they know it. They know it. They're not backing down from nothing. They got him bought and paid for. He's not going to say anything they don't like. So they came and got him, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not upset with white supremacy. He's not preaching against that. They're not trying to do that. And what I'm saying is that who the hell do you think you are to patronize somebody who he wants to talk about everything else on earth except for the injustice of this system? He's got nothing to say about the injustice of this system. What the hell are you doing in his church, his mosque, his temple? What are you doing there? Nah, brother, I'm hurting a lot of folks' feelings today. Damn them. They don't like that. I'm hurting a lot of people's feelings. Damn y'all.
Okay.
Because it's time we told the truth about this. What you said was absolutely true. That was absolutely true and absolutely on point. We have made a mockery of ourselves because we are not doing enough to go to war against this system. When you're at war, Jewish people did not sit up here and play no games. They sent kids to every law school they could find. Next thing they knew, they were running all the law schools.
Look at what Japan did. When Japan got defeated, I think it was when they first came upon Commodore Perry, when he first came to their shores, Commodore Perry, from an American. Once they seen the technological advantage that the United States had over them, they sent their students to Britain for finance. They sent their students to Germany for industrial know-how. They sent their students to America for business, I think for finance, for business, government. Then they sent some other students to other places. I think 10 or 15 years later, they was the first non-white nation to beat a white nation in the Russo-Japanese War. We just, it's just a, when I was talking to these sisters about educating black men, black males, and I was explaining to them the benefits of it, if all you can get out of it, I don't want y'all niggas to be in a position to control us, then it's almost absolutely no use. That's it. Those same people you was talking about, T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, they get by, these black preachers get by $5 million a week out of principally black women in their churches. And they going to sit up here and talk noise about Umar Johnson trying to start a school for black boys? I just,
what they are telling you is that they are traitors. That's what they're telling you, is that we are on the side of white supremacy. You see, white supremacy controlling them is okay. White supremacy having the upper hand, that's okay. They're not fighting any of that. Anybody talking about Umar Johnson, they can't show you one thing that they've done to deconstruct and disarm white supremacy. That's when you become the bedwinch. That's when you become the coons. Black folk are exceptionally gifted at that. Black folks' noses hit the damn dirt before white folk even walk in the room. White people are nowhere around, but black people talk as if white folk are monitoring their every word. That's good conditioning, man. That's good conditioning and more than a little fear. And what I'm telling you, brothers, that these are traitors. I'm saying it right now. Anybody who talks like that is committing treason against black people. That is outright treason. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's just treason. People have a problem with deciding to read a book rather than a Bible because they want to make sure that books are usually going to be something that's rooted in fact. Your religion is not a matter of fact. It's a matter of belief, but it's not a matter of fact. They want you to dumb yourself down. For a white man, if you're reading a book, a religious book, well, what that means is that you're not aspiring to challenge him in the real world. You are focusing on the intangible world. That's why that's safe to him. For black women, it means that you are not going to insist on facts. But you know what? I think that is a wonderful thing. I'm serious about what I'm about to say right now, everybody. I may inaugurate something here on the Black Channel that doesn't exist anywhere else on Earth based off of what you just talked about here tonight. I may institute a reading day. A day where
good
I
idea.
Check to see how many black women are paying attention to something that I read. With me saying that, and it will not be religious or biblical related. And see just how many, maybe some folk who have been with me for a while who may wind up disappearing on me. Ask them, hey, can we talk about what I read today on the Black Channel? See how many females just kind of nod off. You talk about your Bible, you have their undivided opinion, the undivided attention, because it's based on opinion. And because they feel like they can meet you on equal ground. A man is not supposed to be a woman's equal. A man is supposed to be her leader. And when your women desire for you to be weak, just understand something. Everybody loves you to be weak until white supremacy comes knocking on the front door. Once the white folk grab her by her hair, now she wants the men to stand up and do that. Like these people who run around here talking about a man should never hit a woman under any circumstances. That's very interesting. And then once your son, I put up these videos, the video they put up about the girl who was watching, her mom got jumped by two women and she was just standing there and whatnot. And they were like, oh, that was terrible. That was awful. And I said, where are the females to tell us about your son, that your son should never hit a woman under any circumstances? Does that apply in a situation like this too? That you're getting beat up by two women. You still believe he should not do anything, correct? He should just stand there. Well, he should get them off of me, but you said don't lay hands on them in any way. Well, this is different. No, it's not different. It's the same. Exactly the same. We can't allow irrational people to have voice in black society anymore, brother. They are demanding our deaths. And you and I have to do everything possible to stop them by any means possible. Not just any means necessary, but any means possible. I'll let you have the last word.
I just want to thank you for allowing me to speak. And to the sisters, if we're behind you, we cannot protect you, we cannot provide for you, and we cannot promote you. It's very important. I cannot protect my equal. I only can protect those that I feel that are vulnerable. Black first.
Black first, brother. And definitely we have the ability to promote them. Don't get me wrong. But black men have to get serious about wanting to do it. We have to make it where we promote the women who adhere to a black agenda. And right now there aren't really a bunch of black men trying to do that. They're trying to get free sex. They're trying to get free attention. But they're not saying, you know what? We are going to pay, put down cash money to promote females who promote the agenda that we agree with. White men are doing it. Black men aren't even showing up. That's why we're going in unarmed. Thank you for giving us a call here tonight. Let me grab caller from 951. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Just listening.
Okay, you have yourself in the call queue, Josh. Josh, wake up. Why are you playing on my phone, Josh? Yes, I know who it is. Wow, so I'm talking to him and he's deciding he's not going to answer. Josh,
hello?
I'm going to put you on timeout now, okay? You did not press 1 when you called in and that puts you in the host queue. I'm putting you on timeout. You're going to have to listen over Ustream for the next couple of weeks, okay? You got that, Josh? Okay, Josh is going on timeout from Blog Talk, everybody. Josh is not going to be able to call in or listen live on Blog Talk because Josh is playing on the phone. Caller from 773, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hi, Jason. This is Naima from Chicago again.
Hello, Naima. What's on your mind, sister?
I really wanted to, well, I've been listening live for about an hour, and I really want to really put emphasis on what you had just said, or what the young man before me had just said about religion. And I am a woman who has beliefs, but I'm also a believer in logic. And I also truly believe that if you control a religion, you control a people. Now, I'm not sure if you know about Brahmanism in India, but pretty much for the people who don't know what it is, it was a religion, and there were certain levels of it. And Brahmanism, they were like the elite or the royalty, and they were able to control the majority of India using this religion by stating, as all of you in this group, like, say, for example, the lower class, if all of you do well or please us, when you die and you go into the next, you know, into the afterlife, you will go to the next level. But this was the huge but in the entire trick of it that no one really seemed to grasp except for the guy who created Hinduism later on. If one person out of that entire group did something wrong or didn't please the Brahmins, the entire level, the entire lower class, failed. You could not evolve into the next afterlife. And I really want to touch bases on that, because what's happening is pretty much Brahmanism. You have a group of people who are just intellectually deficient, malnourished intellectually, and they don't know it. And that's how they're able to control us, and especially the women. You have plenty of people that say, well, you know, you need to pray about it. All day they're saying you need to pray. And, yeah, I like to pray, but I also like to use logic. And I do feel that God wants you to not be a fool and to use some common sense and to put some action behind what you do. And we have a lot of people in the black community, they don't know what that is anymore. So it's like we're stuck in this Brahmanism bank. And that's really, I've been listening for an hour, and he mentioned that, and I said, I pressed one on my phone, I was like, oh, let me just add something, because it really touched me, and I had to say something about it.
Well, what is the reason for this preoccupation with praying? Praying is another way of saying, well, I did something. I didn't just sit and do nothing. And in reality, what they did was they turned over responsibility to someone else. In other words, they did what they've always been doing. It's just another way of keeping on doing what you were always doing. You were always handing responsibility off to someone else. First, you handed it off to white supremacy. Now you've handed it off to these people over here. Now you hand it off to religion. That's
exactly.
Everything is about avoiding taking any physical action of your own. And that's what Calvin.
And a lot of them also, yeah, and that's, I'm sorry for interrupting, but that's what a lot of us do, because, well, a lot of us, and I can say 90% of us, I'm speaking about black people, we tried it, and, you know, the first time, you fail. Now, in families, the parents are supposed to raise the child and say, well, you know, when you live through life and you get older, sometimes you're going to fail. Sometimes you may do something and it may not come out like you want it to. That doesn't mean you give up. Now you have people in the black community, they do something, they try it, they fail, and they say, that's it, I'm done, I'm not trying anymore, instead of just deciding, well, you know what, I failed, maybe I can do this a different way. We've lost our sense of independence, we've lost our sense of bravery, we no longer use critical thinking. Like you said, we just handed over all of the responsibility to someone else. Instead,
but do you know why we don't use critical thinking, though? The reason that we don't use critical thinking is because we're not held accountable to other black people for our lack of critical thinking. White society is never going to hold you responsible for your inability to think. They're never
exactly.
going to hold you responsible for not being as smart as they are. So you see, if you fail to be smart enough to challenge white supremacy, white folks ain't gonna hold you accountable for that. They're not gonna hold you accountable for that at all. So since we're
exactly.
not accountable about other black people, then nobody's jumping in there. Now, you got a lot of background noise going on there, so she's calling us on the way home again. I'll give you about 10 minutes and see if you can make it home, and we'll try you back here again, okay?
I'm actually home, it's just hot outside.
Okay.
I'm actually home, it's hot outside, and I stepped outside, but I'm inside now, but...
Well, it's
okay,
hot and noisy out there, too. Yes, it's hot and noisy. But that's
yeah,
better.
Well,
the problem is that we're not held accountable as black people. We're not held accountable to each other. Now, why is that an important distinction? Because white supremacy will only hold you accountable if you attempt to stand up to them. So you are pleasing in their eyes if you don't do that. Well, we don't ever try to please each other as black people for something constructive. Challenging white supremacy is supposed to be something black folk are happy about, but nobody is accountable for it. Nobody in black society is held accountable if you fail to challenge white supremacy. If you fail or if you refuse to be smart enough to challenge them, nobody holds you accountable for that. Absolutely no one.
That's why the lack of intelligence is so endemic.
We can resort to ineffective things, we can resort to irrational things, we can resort to intangible and non-existent things because we are being held accountable by white society. Black folk don't hold each other accountable. I've created a place here on the Black Channel where I hope we start doing that, but as a group, we don't hold each other accountable. You are supposed to hold a black man accountable when he stands up here and starts talking about how great white women are and how bad black women are. You're supposed to hold him accountable for that. You're not supposed to let that slide because white society holds a white man accountable. That's why white men don't do it. White women don't do it.
And to touch base on what you just said about black women praising white women, the moment another black woman calls him out on that, he's quick to say, well, you know, she just hates white women. She's a hater. That has nothing to do with... Personally, I believe it has nothing to do with it.
You're a wonderful caller, but we keep having problem issues. You're going to need to take that phone off a speaker.
Okay, it's actually on. I have an earphone on.
That's fine. All the above. It's picking up the whole ambience of the room, and it's starting to mirror what you're saying.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, well, was just moving into a different room. I do apologize, but what I was saying was, as a woman, my opinion is it's not really so much about the white woman; it's about his mindset and how he views black women. And you know, the first time I called, we had a long discussion about black women in general, but it's not. As much as I can say that's bad about black women, there's room for black men, too. So we're in this boat together. And for you to jump ship and talk crap about your sister, that's crazy. And then you get black women talking crap about their brother. So it's like two wrongs are not going to make it right. I'm going off topic.
Yes and no. I mean, here's the problem. The problem is that black men do not have any type of asylum in white supremacy.
Okay.
If black men had the ability to cater, what favors are black men getting from white supremacy? Name them.
Absolutely nothing.
Now what favors and benefits do black women get from white supremacy?
Well, a black woman would say, as you've been saying for the past week, benefits, welfare, government assistance.
More than just that. Beyond just that, now that's the most egregious and well-known, but do you realize that there's a ton of other benefits that black women get from white supremacy? Most black women do not even realize it. Let me give you an example. For example, on a job, a black female can be as incompetent as she wants to be. She can still bargain with sex.
A black man
cannot, in the workplace, a black man cannot bargain with anything but his skill set. He can't just have a regular skill set either. He's got to be employee of the damn month. A black woman can at least get herself in shape and lose weight and get her body together and at least use sex appeal. A black woman can use sex appeal. A black man has no such mechanism. He's either qualified, has the skill set, or he's gone. There is no extra benefit. There is no, okay, well, you didn't have the skill set, but you brought something else, so you qualify for this other benefit. A black man earns his keep or he's gone. And a lot of the time, even if he's got the skill set, he's still gone. So black women get all kinds of benefits from white supremacy that black men never get and are never even eligible for. So it's more egregious when black women do it because white folk are offering them the opportunity to sell out. Ain't nobody offering a black man nothing. So white men are walking up and saying, here's a welfare check, sell your people out. Here's a middle management rent-dink position, sell your people out. Here's Section 8, sell your people out. Black men get no such offers.
And like I've said it before,
so, whoa.
Women are pawns.
Whoa. Stop, Naima. What you were saying before about we're all in the same boat, that is true, but only to a certain extent. That's only true to a certain extent. Because it's more like we're all in boats, but we're not in the same one. As a people, we're all in boats. Yes, that's true. We're all in a boat. But black men and black women are not in the same boat. If we were, tell me about all the unarmed police shootings of black women. I'm listening. I'll wait for that one.
The only thing I can say is I agree with you, and I thank you for explaining it to me in that way.
Because we can all talk like we're all in the same boat together, but that's like white folk talking about, oh, we're all in the same boat as far as the judicial system because one white man got wrongly convicted of a crime. You got one white man. I got 1,000 black men. We are not in the same damn boat. At least your white man was actually there on the night that the crime occurred. We got black men who are being convicted on eyewitness testimony from meth-smoking white women. It's a white woman been tripping meth all night. And a black man is convicted on her eyewitness testimony alone. You show me a white man who could possibly be convicted of a black woman doing crack talking about, I seen him. I seen him. After I put the crack pipe down, I seen him. We're not in the same boat. And black women are actually working to him. The only power that black men have is to talk crap on Facebook and YouTube. Let's just be honest. You have never heard of a black woman who went to the courthouse and it was a bunch of black men who were the bailiffs and the clerks in the court. That's not happening. Black women are not even helping black men as far as court cases and stuff. There was this black man who last year, who had been, it was a clerk at the court who helped him out. It was a white woman. To file the proper paperwork to exonerate himself because they couldn't afford the damn legal fees. Where's your group of black women demanding that? It's not a group of black men. They won't let us in the court system. They make sure they pin us with a felony real quick. Black women can serve as clerks of court even with a felony. Hell, you got nurses, damn me. Getting arrested and leaving their children in damn cars at Lil Wayne concerts and can still be nurses for the Army and the VA. Go look her up. Sexy Red, Lil Red, whatever the hell her name was. Show me a black man that can happen with. We are not in the same boat. Black men are just running their mouths. Black women have been given power by the white system to be their tools, to be their front people, to be their foot soldiers. Ain't nobody giving black men power to be foot soldiers over nothing. It's not a bunch of black men working for the Department of Child Services. Those are black women. It's not a bunch of black men working at the Section 8 and welfare offices. When a black woman's children get taken, who is the welfare and the child welfare worker who shows up at her house? It's another black female. It's not black men, it's another black female. And the people over her are white females. A black woman can abuse or can kill her children, go to the court system, go to the child welfare system, go to the child protection system, and never encounter a black male ever. A black male cannot be arrested and not encounter a black female or a white person. Now, as black men, I just told you, now we can talk crap about what black women are doing because stuff is happening to us at the hands of black women. A black woman cannot show you anything bad that happened to her this year other than the no good black male that she chose. But she cannot show anything that she did not choose that a black male was anywhere involved in. Not the judge, not the prosecuting attorney, not even damn clerks at the courtroom or the bailiffs. So I understand what you feel, and I get what you feel, but I went through that explanation for anybody out there who's listening for the first time or whatever. We don't just think about stuff and believe it. I bring you proof here at the Black Channel. As a group, okay, black men are not helping white supremacy other than the politicians. Now, that's a different matter. The black politicians are helping white supremacy. But once you get past that political level, black men disappear. All we're doing is running our mouth on Facebook and in relationship talk. That's not power. I'm not laughing over here, everybody. I'm snarking. That's not power. You call that power? That's not power.
And you know what? When you say it that way, it makes me understand that, yes, you're right. When you say it that way, I think back and, okay, we're not in the same boat. That when you explain it in that way and give me facts, that's why I say logic, as opposed to just running off of emotion. It's just, I mean, all of the fact of the matter is, like I said before in the last time I called, women were pawns. And as much as I hate to say it because I'm a woman and everyone's like, oh, well, you shouldn't talk crap about your own gender, it's true. We're pawns. And until we realize it, because the more they give us, the less our own men have. And as a woman, we need to stand by our men and support them, because as soon as they come into the world, as soon as they are born, the entire universe is out to get them. And we failed. We have truly failed. We've abandoned our men. And that's why they go on, you know, like you said, I'm talking crap on relationship talk and it's saying how they love white women and all this nonsense. And I mean, fine. You can like white women all you want. Just don't talk about issues about, don't talk about black issues.
That's very true. If you want to down black relationships, just don't talk on them. You lose your ability to do that once you do that. You lost the ability to do that. Understand, there's no such thing as talking trash when you're telling the truth, first of all. And these women are not just talking against black men. They're talking against their own sons. How can you blame, quote, black men? They always want to talk like their sons are so on point. Their sons are not on point. They're barely damn verbal talking about my son is intelligent. Remember the heifer last week talking about her son. The boy's flunking out of fifth grade. Flunking out of fifth grade talking about her son is bright. Flunking out of fifth grade. When somebody is so emotional, the facts don't matter. That's a problem. But here's the other issue with empowering white supremacy, and don't ever forget this. Naima, white women understand that white men are the only thing standing between them and the rest of the world. Let me say that again for every Negro bedwinch mentality out there. White women do not down white men, even when white men are wrong, because they understand that white men are the only thing standing between them and the rest of the world. White women understand that if this white man disappears tonight, I got nothing. It was not a white man that raped that woman, Miela, whatever her name was, in Central Park. With the last name Reyes, that would be Latino. And she wants a judicial system, not a judicial system that is just and fair. She said, damn, just and fair. I want a judicial system that does my bidding. I want a court system that gives me privileges. And I want a police department that can go out and enforce my privileges. And that was why she didn't want a court system that looked at the justice part of that situation. She wanted a court system that was going to round people up and let them know that if you mess with a white woman, there's going to be consequences. And she knew it wasn't going to be a bunch of white women who were going to go out and strike fear into the hearts of Negroes everywhere. All she knew was that the guy who raped her was not white. And she wanted a court system that went out and enforced her white privilege. And she knew a bunch of little old white women were not going to be able to do that. She wanted a bunch of tall, strapping, steroid-chomping white males to go out and enforce her privilege for her. And that was exactly what happened. And guess what happened after that? Black men were scared to go in Central Park after that. And guess who the mayor was when this happened to her? I believe it was David Dinkins, because I remember 1989. I believe that was David Dinkins, the first black mayor of New York. So you see, her white privilege even extended to, who did I mention to you before, just a minute ago? Who did I mention who were working on white, working for white supremacy in black male society? Who was it? The only black males who helped white supremacy are the politicians. And in this case, yes, this politician was helping them to do what? To go after other black males.
Men.
This white supremacy is a cold-ass game.
Yeah,
it's a
cold-ass
game. You can get black males to even go after each other under the system of white supremacy. Damn. It's a cold-ass game.
And if you're not smart at all, if you're not quick on your feet, it'll take you over. And what you said about white women knowing for a fact that the only thing standing between them is a white man. As black women, we don't hold our men as our protectors anymore. You know, in Africa, that's what the man was. He protected you from other things, from other men, because if he wasn't there, women, we are 50% weaker than men. Just out of the womb, we're not even built for fighting. We're built for giving birth and nurturing and taking care of things. We're not made for fighting and battling and war and physical combat. So anybody can really take advantage of us. And the only thing that's really going to protect us is men. And we have completely abandoned our men, and our men have become cowards. They just become so scared that they have just said, well, you know, woman, black woman over there, you on your own. I guess we just all on our own, and that's the way they can conquer us, is because we're divided. We're so divided and so scared that they can come in and just do whatever they want to us because we're not protecting each other. Black men aren't protecting women. Women are abandoning and betraying men. And that's really what it is. But my question is, my question to you is, and anyone listening, how exactly do we come together? And that's why I say it with the prayer. Prayer is fine, but how do we take action? How do we come together and say, hey, we need to stop this. We need to come together and start protecting each other now.
Okay, let me make sure of a couple of things here, okay? David Dinkins was mayor of New York from 1990 to 1993. What that means is that David Dinkins is solely responsible for what happened to those six young men. David Dinkins is solely responsible because this happened as Ed Koch was leaving office. David Dinkins was the mayor when this happened, as I stated. He was mayor. And David Dinkins could have insisted that those charges be dropped. David Dinkins did nothing. He concerned himself for 4 years with reacquiring the white vote. That was what he spent 4 years trying to do, and it all blew up in his face. Rudy Giuliani became mayor anyway. All that white ass kissing that David Dinkins did nothing for him. So, yes, it was David Dinkins, even though they may have been, even though the events may have started in 1989, David Dinkins oversaw the entire affair. He could have done something. He could have done something.
So my question is, how do we fix this? Because it's going to take more than just talk.
It's going to take more than just talk, but first of all, we have to get everybody on the same page. It doesn't work if I believe one thing and you believe something else. So first and foremost, we have to make sure that there is a, you can call it a code if you want to, okay? But we need to make sure that everybody has a similar slate of beliefs. We can't have all this wildcatting going on. Everybody's got to believe the same thing. Everybody's got to be on the same page. If I sit up here and define white supremacy, and then you come up here and say white supremacy doesn't exist, but those boys got arrested anyway, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work at all. I'm going to see about bringing another caller on here. Caller from 904, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, how's it going?
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Leo. I'm calling out of Florida.
And what's on your mind?
Okay, just sitting here listening. And I agree. I think that going back to the politicians, we need to just fire all these black politicians or give him a no vote, is with the exception of John Conyers, because he's the only one that's really been presenting something.
Are you serious? Did you really just say everybody except John Conyers? Are you serious? Was that a joke, right?
I mean,
you're being sarcastic, right?
I know we can't fire them all. You know what I mean?
That was sarcastic, though. You didn't actually mean that everybody except John Conyers. You were actually just being facetious about that, right?
Right. Let's just can them all.
Okay. I just wanted to...
I'm sorry?
I just wanted to make sure about that there. We're gonna sweep out everybody except John Conyers?
But, yeah. I am the creator of www.blackfacts.com.
Oh, whoa. Slow down.
Yes.
Slow down. What are you trying to do?
You mean with the website?
Yeah, I mean, do you pay me for advertising?
Well, no, I mean, but you're talking about solutions, and that's
a good solution. No. Do you pay me for advertising, Leo?
No, I don't.
No, you don't. Now, do you walk into Walmart and start handing out flyers for your dollar store in the middle of Walmart? Do you do that?
Well, this isn't, shouldn't be about making money right now anyway.
Brother?
On either side.
Excuse me. You don't want me to get upset right now, okay? You don't want me to do that. Now, I'm going to
ask a question and I answer.
I'm going to be civil with you here. I'm going to attempt to do that. Now, if you ask,
okay.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to try to keep this on an adult level, though. Do you walk into Walmart and start handing out brochures for your dollar store in the middle of Walmart? Do you work for Target and then walk in the middle of Walmart handing out Target circulars? What would Walmart do if you did that?
Well, I mean, Walmart would probably have a fit if we're talking about stores.
Okay, now, if you walked into Taco Bell talking about, I'm opening up Leo's Fish Shack, and you're sitting there on Taco Bell's door handing out brochures for Leo's Fish Shack in front of Taco Bell's store, what would Taco Bell do? If you were opening up a bank and you're handing out free ATM cards for Leo's Bank in front of Chase and Regions and Bank of America, what would they do?
Okay,
if you're lucky, they'll just ask you to leave. If you're not so lucky, the police will be escorting you away, probably to jail first, because you're going to be convicted of trespassing. They'll come in to make you leave. And as black men, we don't demonstrate enough respect for each other. Now, the reason that you called in is because I got a pretty good shot. First of all, the next time you speak while I'm talking, it's not going to be pretty. Because you're showing disrespect here.
Pro-blackness, fuck you. Try to sell documentaries and shit. Fuck, nigga.
Oh, my God.
Fuck out of here with that bullshit. You trying to make money. You trying to fix the problem. Fuck your bitch ass.
Fuck you. Just listen to him for a moment.
Exactly. Listen to you.
No, let him keep
talking about fixing the community, and you talking about money and taco. We ain't talking about making money. We're talking about fixing genocide, you fucking idiot.
That's right, and this guy is going to lead us to salvation. Can't you see his temperament?
You never saw your face, but you can see my face. But you can see my face, but you never saw your face, right?
Can't you see his temperament?
Exactly. www.blackpackers.com, you can see my face. You can't see this bitch nigga face.
That's right, everybody. Listen to him. This is the temperament that's going to lead all of us to salvation. He's going to lead us to salvation. With this kind of temperament.
You're trying to sell DVDs.
That's right. This guy right here.
You're trying to sell DVDs.
Listen to how
specific you're trying to make money, bitch ass nigga.
Can you imagine? We're going to go up against white supremacy with this guy cursing and yelling because people are intimidated by cursing.
You're going to go against white supremacy with you that also your face, right?
People are intimidated by this. This is really intimidating. You're really intimidating.
You're hiding behind a fucking picture trying to sell DVDs. You ain't taking
on my broadcast.
See the fuck out of here, man.
But you're on my broadcast.
I say, well, I give you my name, and you can see my face, man. And we need to sit down and talk like some men. I'm screaming you out with that bullshit. Y'all need to start trying to sell black power and understand that this is fucking genocide, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, you're on my broadcast.
Nobody's on your motherfucker.
But you're on mine.
Yeah.
Nobody knows who you are. You're on
mine. Y'all bitch ass niggas do a whole bunch of talking, but I never see y'all motherfuckers step up the white screen.
You know what? The guy that nobody ever sees,
don't you?
I'm known by more people than
you.
People can see you, but nobody knows or cares. Isn't that amazing? You're losing to a guy that nobody's ever seen. Nobody's seen me, and I'm way more popular than you. You're losing to a guy that nobody's seen. Look how lame that is.
People dying, you idiot.
Wow. How do you lose to a guy that nobody
sees?
How do you lose to a fella nobody sees?
You and other people are selling DVDs and shit. People don't give a fuck about your popularity. People out here getting killed.
Wow. But nobody knows
you.
You don't
care about your fucking popularity. You talk about popularity, really? Really?
Nobody knows you.
You don't show your face?
Obviously, I'm more effective than you are. You called me. Then why did you call me? Then why did you call? Then why did you call?
You're talking about intelligent discussions and solutions. Dude, but now you're talking about you Walmart. And you're not fucking Walmart, nigga. You're a nigga. Understand? You ain't Walmart.
Obviously, I am the Walmart of black
people. You don't own a Walmart. You was on Kickstarter asking for donations to buy DVDs so that you can sell them. So get the fuck out of here. Who do you think you're
calling,
nigga?
And I got
you, nigga.
So you're jealous is what you're saying.
You're trying to fail, motherfucker. You ain't trying to really get something done. But you want to get other people for the interest of ideas?
So you're jealous
of me. You want to sell one motherfucker black power? The fuck out of here, man.
So you're jealous of me is what you're telling people. You're jealous of me.
Jealousy, yeah. I think some DVD to sell. I'm not trying to sell a DVD. I'm trying to fix problems. I'm an academic.
You're going to fix problems.
You're cursing
like
a 4-year-old.
In the thick call,
no, 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 you started being disrespectful to call and introduce myself like, oh, no, this is wrong.
This
the
guy
fuck is you ain't no Walmart. You're a bitch-ass nigga taking out donations on Kickstarter.
Like a 4-year-old
Jerry Springer.
He's got a plan. Now, he just told everybody, nobody knows who he is. That's why he tried to gate crash with his website address. Nobody knows him. He called up my broadcast because I have a reach of thousands. I've proven it.
You can't even show your face, dude. Nobody knows what you look like.
I'm a nobody, but I've got my hotel.
I got my hotel. People actually want real solutions.
To salvation.
Out of here, man.
Yelling and screaming and
showing your face.
This is what bastard baby makers do.
You want to look at the criminal, but you won't show your face?
Bastard baby makers.
You want to look at the
kind
of criminal, but you won't show your face?
If you yell and scream and curse.
You Walmart. You don't own shit from you Walmart. Fuck out of here. You taking donations on your
I just wanted you all to understand that. I wanted you
to understand.
Why are you on my podcast
and
nobody?
People present other ideas, bitch ass nigga. Fuck out of here.
And he's still talking.
Yeah, you can bring up one of these little stupid ass females and shit that call yourself, but you can't get at me.
Why would I want
to
get at you?
I'm not a real academic, but I come see your punk ass, motherfucker.
Why don't you come see me then?
Show your face. Come see me. Oh, you can see my face. Show your face.
Come and see me.
I dare you.
Come and see me.
Do you think anybody is scared of you?
Is anybody scared of
you? Donation to sell DVDs, bitch ass nigga. You ain't changing the laws.
And
you ain't doing nothing in white supremacy.
As black
you ain't getting no business just started.
Today's
fuck out here.
This guy right here, this is what he's
somebody wants to slap the shit out of you.
I will come see you, okay? I will come and get with you.
You come see me, really? Tell me where you are. You got my phone number. When you come, why don't you go ahead and pay the
$3,000 and you can come see me.
When you coming?
You want to come see me? I want to see you.
Exactly.
I don't want to see you.
Exactly.
I don't want to see you, but you can come see me.
You
just said you come see
me.
Come and get me,
man. Fuck out of here.
If he wants to see me, you can pay $3,000
to get donations on Kickstarter.
You're broken. Your time is worthless. It's worthless. My time is valuable. My time is hideous. Right now, you are helping my
podcast.
Incredibly,
you ain't Walmart. Bitch, you ain't no Walmart.
Self looks like a jigaboom.
Walmart, but you ain't no Walmart.
But understand something. Your time is free and worth. my time is valuable. You want to see me? See, this is what these Negroes are raised with. So they pay their money.
We ain't listening to you. This time it's over my show is safe.
We ain't
listening to nobody that wants to their face. Fuck out of here.
This is the grown world, buddy. I'm not the
one who wants to their face, but you got a lot to say.
For you to get back to the motel. Buddy, this is the grown world. You got to pay for my time. And if you don't have any money, then it's going to be pretty hard.
I don't need other people.
They meet me.
I ain't taking no donations. You taking donations.
So if you would like to see me, you are more than welcome to come and see me.
You taking donations, bro.
But you're more than welcome to go ahead.
You ain't taking donations. You ain't got no goddamn money.
Go ahead.
If you have money, you wouldn't be taking donations.
That's perfectly fine. If you'd like to do that. But in this place,
we're not your good, fat, cheese formula. We're not your good town, slut down the street to hang out with, hotel,
a bunch of big fat broads to pay a grown man.
We're not intelligent, black. You had to go get Dr. Umar Johnson. You copied Tariq Nasheed. That's all you did. You copied Tariq Nasheed. You're Tariq Nasheed copycat.
Thank you, because you're making me look incredibly good. Brothers and sisters, this is the alternative.
Tariq Nasheed copycat.
Brothers and sisters, this is the alternative. This is what we're up against. As black people, this is what we have to deal with as far as so-called black males out there. Because these are the guys who will try to tell you that they have the temperament and the judgment. And
ain't nobody taking a word from nobody wants to their face. Shut up, man.
Black people.
Shut up, man. Nobody want to hear from you, man. Right, you want to insert your face. You're the sheep. You got your own original ideas. You want to interview Umar Johnson and Dr. Clarence and trying to copy Tariq Nasheed, and you got your own academics.
As having
all professors in America, you got to go copy Tariq Nasheed. You can't even get your own academics. Come on, man.
That monumental
money, you Walmart. Motherfucker, you in Walmart. You taking donations.
Just
taking
listen to him yell and scream and curse and have on.
Fuck out of here. Silly-ass clown. And there's no more clowns that won't even show their face. You're a clown.
Now, understand, folks, I had him
read it. Tariq Nasheed copycat.
He doesn't know that he's
copycat. That's all you are.
He's just been talking the entire time. He doesn't even know that he's been muted. He thought you all could hear him. You all can't even hear him. But he's steady.
You hear me, bitch ass dude?
And my point is, that's the way that males, that a masculine entity.
You hear me, bitch ass dude?
Hey, that's the question. Is that the way that a masculine entity behaves? Or is this how 100-pound sluts at the welfare office fighting on World Star Hip Hop? Is this the way that they raise their children? Just ask yourself, is this the way that males behave, or is this the way that idiots behave? Okay, I didn't give him permission to hang up the phone. I didn't give him permission to do that. But he was gone on his own. Now, Naima, what I did was I muted you, Naima, and the reason I muted you was because I didn't want you to keep talking over him. There was a reason why I didn't. I wanted people to hear everything he had to say. I wanted people to hear everything. And my reason for that is because this is how we make the comparison between ourselves and them. This is how we make the comparison between the civilized and the savages. This is how we make our comparisons between the fakers and the frauds. You see, fraudulent people want to get out there and yell and scream and curse and everything else. That's what fraudulent individuals do. The real thing doesn't have to do that. The real thing doesn't have to yell and scream and call names at people that they don't even know. The real thing, you see, fraudulent people want to sit out there and talk about what they would do if they could get their hands on you. Fraudulent people do that and make plenty of videos with that mess. They make plenty of phone calls. These are black males who act like hoes. They act like bees and hoes, and that tells you who raised them. And then they wonder why they do not have the respect of somebody like Naima. They wonder why they do not have the respect. These are black women who are raising their sons to be the kinds of black men that they cannot even respect. It'd be different if they were raising their sons to be males that they could respect, but they're not even raising their sons to be the type of males that they can respect. Now, I let him keep talking because it's very rare that I get somebody who calls up here who's quite so idiotic. But I want you all to see that. Did you notice that, first of all, how he transformed? He calls in, tries to boost his website. I tell him that's not welcome here. And then the first little bit of pressure. You see, when you have a fraud, you put a little bit of pressure on them. When you have a faker, when you have a charlatan, when you have some emotionally immature and underdeveloped sap, what you do is you put a little pressure on them, just a little, and you will watch how fragile they are. Just a little pressure will make them break. Just a little, not a great amount, just a little bit. They start to crack under a little bit of pressure, like the skin on a peanut. If you ever took that little red skin off your peanuts, you notice how that just cracks under the slightest amount of pressure. You don't even have to put a lot on it, not the shell, the red skin on it. And what I'm saying is what that masculine energy that you heard on this phone right now was, no. That's not what I want to ask you, Naima. I want to ask you and everybody else out there listening, was that leadership that you just heard on that phone right now, was that a leader? Was that someone when he comes face to face with white supremacy in their schools? When you face white supremacy in the school, in the courthouse, in the media, could you imagine that guy debating Bill O'Reilly? Would you want that fella to be your representative against Sean Hannity? Would you want that guy to go up against Greta Van Susteren, Laura Ingalls, Dr. Laura Schlesinger? Would you all want that guy to be your representative of black people in front of Michael Savage or in front of Mark Levin? Who would want that? Would you want that guy on Fox News or MSNBC or CNN, Anderson Cooper? Would you want that guy to go squaring off against George Stephanopoulos? Remember when George Stephanopoulos turned the last debate with Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton into the Jeremiah Wright screed? That was George Stephanopoulos trying to weight the scales for his buddy Hillary Clinton. He was trying to rig an election right there in front of the whole world. And you saw how Barack Obama responded. With John McCain and Sarah Palin and Mitt Romney and John Boehner and Eric Cantor, may his political career rest in peace, war pieces. Would you want that guy who just got off the phone to be your representative in front of the world when it's time to go up against John Boehner and Eric Cantor and Sarah Palin palling around with terrorists? Would you want that guy to be your representative as black people because he thinks he's ready, Naima?
Black Renaissance,
I'm going to let you speak here in just a moment. Black Renaissance just said a great thing there. He just said that guy just had a full-blown nigga moment. For those of you who watch the Boondocks, you know what that is. That's right. He had a full-blown, unmitigated nigga moment right in front of the world. I didn't hang up on him. He hung up himself, by the way. I was just going to let him just keep talking. I was going to see just how long he could sit here and keep talking and murmuring and cursing and thinking that he is a revolutionary. That guy is going to be our representative in the face of white supremacy? Really? That guy is going to be our representative. Because what he was telling you, Naima, was that you all need to go to his website because he is qualified to represent you. See, y'all have to start having some patience about this stuff because it's very easy to get frustrated and get flabbergasted. Y'all need to get patience about this. You all need to gain some patience about it. Gain some patience and understand that we have to expose these things. We have to. It is not enough for us to just get upset about it. Getting upset ain't going to change nothing. We can't get upset. My goal was not to talk reason to him. My goal was to talk reason to all of you. That's what. Oh, now he's in the chat room. I'm gonna let my
first.
Well, I'm gonna let my mods take care of that, but
I mean,
this is what we're up
okay,
against.
Okay. My first, I have several things to say about that young man, and my question was, because when he called, he introduced himself and spoke about a little bit about politics, and my question that I wanted to ask him was, if you were trying to make a point about your business, you didn't have to tell us what your site was. And then you began to, like you said, you put pressure on him. And he cracked under the pressure. He got offended and started calling you names. And then he began to try and make what you are doing seem just mediocre and useless. Like, oh, you get donations. And I believe it was a few days ago, you had spoke with someone, and they asked you, how do you start a business, and how do you become successful at your business? And you've mentioned somewhat in a long, lengthy way that you need people behind you. You need people behind you. So apparently, when you had said you were jealous, I already make the assumption that, well, he's a little upset because he doesn't have people behind him. You have people behind you, and you are able to get 7 a.m. off the ground into something actually physical and reachable. And he can't even get whatever it is that he was trying to do. He can't even get that into – he can't even imagine that into other people's minds because obviously how he conducts himself. He immediately started cursing and acting a fool. And then at one point I heard him threaten you, like, I'm going to come get you. And I hope you realize that this was live, right? So if you wanted to press charges, you could.
Yeah, guys, everything. I mean, for all these people who like to threaten me and stuff like that, they do need to understand. By the way, I've got you all recorded. I've got you on video. I can have every single one of you doing time. And trust me, I don't have to worry about police. I've got lawyers who can make sure. I don't talk to police. I talk to attorney generals.
I can have
the attorney general of your state on the phone with my lawyer in 24 hours. He's a very gifted man about that kind of thing. And but like I say, I mean, they don't think, baby. They don't think. They don't think at all. They don't think at all. These people don't exercise any thought. But you know why? Because they're not doing anything and they're not going anywhere. What is that guy building? Tell me. Do you know what a major impediment it would be for me right now if somebody sat up here and said, TBA, threaten me. I'm calling the police. All this stuff. Do you know what a major impediment that would be? Baby, I just got $100,000. And did you notice that was straight what he went for? Let me tell you something about why most of these black males out here, why we're victims of the judicial system, because black men can't concentrate on anything that's worth something. I'm talking about black men going to jail, and this Negro here has a hissy fit about what? Has a hissy fit about what? You got fraudulent people out there who are mad as hell because they thought that I was sleeping with a female they wish they could have slept with. They got mad at me because they felt they realized that I was more popular. Well, first of all, I was more popular before you ever came around, but you're the only person who didn't know that. They got mad because the truth came out. You're trying to sleep with a female who you thought I was sleeping with her, and you got mad because you thought I was doing it. So you're mad at me about a female you can't sleep with under any circumstances and you thought I was. This guy tonight calls in. He's mad at me. And the first thing he says is that you sat up here and got all this money from all these people. So in other words, he's jealous because he's afraid that I have pulled off something financially that he never could.
Exactly. And when he began to, and he just kept saying, you're not Walmart, you're not Walmart, and just started just really trying to downgrade you, because that's really what bullies do. That's what insecure people do. And the disrespect, why everybody knows you don't try to promote your business over someone else's business. That's total disrespect. And you weren't being, you were being harsh on him, but you were being fair. You were telling him, hey, this is wrong. And I guess no one ever told him, and this is nothing. No one ever told these people that they're wrong. Hey, what you're doing is wrong. So they just go through life just being totally disrespectful, and then they're 35, and they meet somebody that's not going to take it, and they don't know what to do, so they resort to cursing and screaming and acting a fool just on the telephone where thousands of people can hear you. You have evidence against him. Like, if you get attacked tonight, he's in jail.
Yeah, I mean, they don't think. As Kanye West said, we rap, we don't think. I mean, this is the kind of behavior that's rampant from them. The fraud, Zoe Williams, this guy. This is what black males think constitutes leadership today. Acting like a bunch of little sissies. A man is supposed to be disciplined. Did that sound like emotional discipline on this phone? A man is supposed to be the most disciplined person in the room, but did that sound like emotional discipline on this phone? And I kept poking him. Yes, I kept commenting. I kept poking him. I wanted him to keep going. I wanted him. I was literally going to let him go for an hour until Blog Talk stopped recording and until Ustream stopped recording. I was going to let him just keep going just so I could show people that this stuff is real. Because this is what black males think qualifies as leadership today. They don't come with ideas. They don't come with accomplishments. They just come with all of their emotions. It's one thing when you were, you know, raised by a bastard baby maker. But it's another thing when you are emulating that.
And then men are supposed to be the most, like you said, they're supposed to be so logical and assertive. And he just had, I would never want him to lead me. I would not. I would be terrified if he was my leader, because what he did was just barbaric. Because you lack logic, you think that brute physical force is going to work every time. It's like when the TV doesn't work, you hit it, as opposed to trying to figure out how to fix it. You hit it, you bang on it. That's exactly what he was doing. It's just he tried to use force and aggressiveness, and it didn't work next to logic, sound, clear logic. And I really wanted to ask him the question, because I was going to ask him, well, why did you have to broadcast your business? You didn't have to do that. You could have went talking about Black Power in a different way. Like, if I had a business, I say, well, Jason Black, I have this business, and dot, dot, dot. I'm not going to say, well, Jason Black, I have this business, the site is www. No, because everybody's listening, so he's trying to steal your followers. That's pretty much what it is. He's trying to steal your followers for free.
Yeah, I mean, what happens here is that, understand something, the Black Channel has been in operation longer than everybody else. I've got a following. I've always had a following, and I built my own following. Now, the fraud got jealous when he realized, whoa, this guy's got a following already. I don't have to compete with you. My numbers show the whole world, buddy, you ain't nowhere near my league. And the numbers say that. And that's why when people ask about numbers now, that's the quickest way to get into it with fraudulent people, is that now they don't want to talk about numbers. My numbers, buddy, you were never in my league. The only person who didn't know that was you. Everybody sitting on your show knew I'm the man. You're the only person who didn't know that you are so outclassed. This guy is so much bigger than you. Now my numbers have proven it. And that was why this guy called in tonight, because the numbers prove it. The numbers prove it. And that is what they... Now, I don't have a problem with that kind of thing, but you don't come crashing through my damn door and trying to blow out a website and whatnot, because I don't know anything about your website. It's one thing if you say Tariq Nasheed, okay? Because I've talked about Tariq. Tariq is approved. It's another thing if you talk about Umar Johnson. I've signed off on Umar Johnson. Umar Johnson is approved. Got his pass. Dr. Claude Anderson, he's approved. He's got his pass. If they've been on my broadcast, they're approved. They got my pass. If I talk about them, that's different. Dude, I don't know you. I don't know you at all.
And I'm sure he could have went about it in a more delicate way. When you're trying to really reach out, like he said, like I've been saying, when you have somebody behind you, people will get jealous. He could have went about that in a more delicate manner. He could have emailed you and said, well, you know, Jason, I have this business. Can you help me? Instead of just, like you said, barging through your door and just being aggressive and disrespectful. I mean... Oh, and he just kept talking, and I just, oh, my God. And he started threatening you, and then I'm listening to him, like, calm down. You said I was muted. I was saying calm down because what you
well,
know,
I'm gonna keep going.
Oh.
I wanted him to stroke out. I wanted him to have an aneurysm. I wanted him to do like the big, fat Chinese balloon dude from Big Trouble in Little China. The guy who just kept swelling up until he finally exploded. That was what I wanted that guy to do. I want him to just keep going until I heard boom on the other side of the phone. That was what I was waiting for.
And
you know what?
If
he had left him long enough, he probably would have.
And have you noticed that the way he was talking to you and calling you nigga and M-asser and stuff like that, he would have, and I repeat this, he would have never, ever, said that into a white guy. If you were white and you had told him about himself just like you did, he would have shut up and said, I apologize. No,
I didn't
see any. Black,
if he had walked into Walmart and tried that, they wouldn't have said anything. They just would have had the little old ladies from security get him to leave. And if he tried to act a fool, the police would have showed up, wrestled him to the ground, handcuffed him, and taken him out. In my case, I didn't have to do any of that. But what I'm saying is that as black people, we're supposed to have more civility than that. And this is what having so many bastard baby makers raise your children has done. That guy thinks he's going to sit in a room full of black men and say that he's one of us. He wants to say he's one of us. Now, let me just say one more thing here right now. People, everybody in the world knows that if you want to meet me, all you have to do is say you want business. I will take care of the rest from there. There's nobody who wants to meet me who has actually tried to, except for the people on the Indiegogo. They want to meet me, and that's it. If there's business to be done, you can meet me. But that's what Negroes do, is they try to, quote, save face. Now, he doesn't have a broadcast of his own, and even if he did, nobody would call it. And even if anybody did call it, I never would. But he calls mine. Well, he has to call mine, because nobody listens to him. And nobody cares. But this is what black males do. Attention is like money. Attention is a type of currency to black men. Progress is irrelevant. Attention is everything. Now, the other problem is that when a man does all that, Tariq Nasheed said it very well in his broadcast one time. He was talking about the dude who got beat up by the two truck drivers at that truck stop. And it was like he was a black male and he was, gesticulating and all this other stuff and all that mess. And that's one of those nonsensical things right there. Is that people were sitting up here talking about the guy was this, that, and the other. And Tariq was like, that fellow was scared. Why would you sit up here and you don't have to sit up here and do any of the rest of that stuff? If somebody is threatening you. You act, you don't sit up here and all this, oh, man, oh, cracking, oh, bastards yelling and all this gesticulating and stuff like that. Man, I'm from New York, the guy was saying. He's from Brooklyn or whatever. When you start doing that kind of stuff, you're just scared. When you're sitting up here talking about what neighborhoods you're from and all that mess, if the guy ever saw me in person, he would soil his clothes and run. talking about beating somebody's ass and actually doing it are two separate skill sets.
Because men who actually do beat people's behinds, they don't talk.
Nope.
They don't have to say it. Because men are about action. They're not so much about talk. I prefer men who talk less and do more. The man I'm with, he's a man of very, very few words. And I can trust him because I can trust that he'll do more than he talks. See, all that talk he was doing, I call it mouth noise. That's all it was talk. It's ridiculous. It's like we've just become just talk. The men have just become talk. And instead of him, you know, calming down, calming himself and saying, I apologize, and carrying on with whatever it is he called to, whatever he called for, it would have been smooth sailing. He would not be a laughing stock. Because I was sitting there listening to the entire thing, and I was like, oh, my God, like.
But that's typical of Negroes. You've got a bunch of black males out here who have done nothing and accomplished nothing. And do you know what happens when you've done nothing and accomplished nothing? You focus on sex. You focus on talking about hotep. And you sit up here and do stupid things like that. Why? Because you've got nothing to lose. He hasn't built up anything. He's built nothing. Nobody knows him. He shouted his website 3 or 4 times. You couldn't even make out what he was saying. I was going to let him go ahead and say his website now. It's like, brother, I want you to advertise the website that you've got that you're running because you just did more to destroy whatever potential that site may have had than I will ever do. All we got to say is that this is coonfest.com and you're the guy who runs it. I don't have to do any of that. Buddy, I don't have to do any of that. Black men, the system of white supremacy, the court system and everything else is running roughshod over us because that is the way that most black males respond to white supremacy. That's the way that most black males respond. They respond like a bunch of temperamental females because that's what their bastard baby-making mamas taught them. Their bastard baby-making mamas taught them that this is how you respond to situations like that. And at the risk of sounding like we're going overboard here, Tariq was right. That was one thing that Tariq said that I agree with wholeheartedly. White supremacy accepts that from black women because they're just females and they disregard it because you're a female. As a black male, you get up in somebody's face with all that, yeah, nigga, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and they blow your head off. You see, he watched his mama do that, and he figures he's going to jump up in somebody else's face and do that mess, too. And what's going to happen is they're going to pull out the black steel. They're not going to argue with you. They're not going to fight with you. If you are lucky, they will beat your ass, if you're lucky. If you are unlucky, they will put you in the grave. And where do most black males who act like him end up? Do they end up with their ass beat, or do they end up with a toe tag?
It's just, I would not want him to leave me at all. It's not even just a temper, a crazy female. It's a child. Children do that kind of stuff.
But he called in because he wanted you, Naima, to know that he was the man with the plan to take on white supremacy. That was what he was saying. He said during the phone call that I'm not doing anything and that people like him are. So I let him show you through his example and illustrate to you through his behavior that he is the man who has the plan. That was the point of everything he said. He was letting you know that he's the man with the plan.
Oh, he also let me know that he doesn't care about females, too. He did bash your female followers, too. I didn't hear that much.
Yeah. I mean, that is the guy who has the plan. He has the philosophy, and he has the ideology that's going to bring us all together. That's right. That guy is going to do it. His website has the real plan. Because understand, TBA is false. TBA ain't got it. That guy, he's got the real plan. He's got the real plan. You just didn't understand it. You just didn't get it right. He's got the real plan.
Well, I guess I didn't. That kind of stuff just really makes me, it just gives me a headache. It kind of takes the wind out of me because as adults, well, as human beings, you're supposed to conduct yourself better than that. How are we supposed to come together and conquer something if we can't even conquer our own emotions? Now, you barely, you barely really spoke during that exchange. You really didn't really do, you didn't do much speaking. It was just him flying off at the mouth, just over and over again. It was like he just did not have a pause button. His brain didn't say, I think he needs to stop. He just had an outburst, a hissy fit, a tantrum, whatever you want to call it. He had it, and it was ridiculous, and it was live. So now thousands of people have heard it, and it's forever going to be on the Internet, forever. The Internet doesn't exist anymore.
Well, like I say, he'll have plenty of time to think it over now. I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up here, Naima, since Blog Talk and everything is about to shut everything off on us. But I want to thank you very much for calling in. Please do give us a call again. I'm hearing from you. Brothers and sisters, there is a way to defeat white supremacy, and I'm going to let you decide if the first 2 hours of tonight's broadcast was the way to do that or if the color during the third hour, if that was it. We as black males better get damn serious about doing the things that really matter and will really work to stop this situation. Because males who act like hoes and a bunch of sissified temper tantrum throwing toddlers aren't going to stop the march of death row as it destroys black men and annihilates us as a species. And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net radio. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, same black time, same black channel, remember, black is the future, and the future is uncompromising.